This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
Matt Verderam's going to join us at 5:30. He'll inject some moisture into the show. What?
On 1510 AM, 99.3 FM, and 1510.com.
When did I say that, and what did I mean? Beards, do you remember me saying that in context?
Context, no.
I don't even remember saying that. That is so odd. Charlie and I are out here live at Menards in Olathe, where I look around, and every time I see new things, right now I see a ceiling fan. I see Gorilla Tape, Gorilla Glue, Sand Blaster, which is actually, I think, just a big sheet of sandpaper. But I promise you, if you feel the apocalypse coming on, just find your nearest Menards, and you can live here for, I don't know, I mean, you and 100 of your closest friends could probably live here comfortably for a decade or so. I just watched 10 Cloverfield Lane over my like little Christmas vacation. The bunker in that with John Goodman, that I feel like if you had a tenth of a Menards, you would have that bunker. So you could have at least you could hold at least 20 hostages in here for sure. If you're crazy John Goodman in 10 Cloverfield Lane. All right, now we're joined by Matt Verderam of Fanside. You can follow him on Twitter, at Matt Verderam. You can listen to his podcast, Stacking the Box, wherever you get your podcasts. Matt, first obvious question, have you ever been to a Menards?
No, I have not. I'm from New York, so there are no Menards that I know of.
I didn't think so. I didn't think there would be. I figured it was worth a shot. Have you ever done a radio show appearance with a show broadcasting from a furniture/everything store?
No. Congratulations, you've got that market cornered.
That's really the goal. And I would love to again. We could live in here, and I would live happily. I want to talk about Chiefs Titans. I want to go back and talk about Patrick Mahomes a little bit. But we spent a good portion of last hour talking about the Raiders giving John Gruden more money than God. And I was just curious as to your thoughts of the Raiders giving $100 million to a slightly worse Brian Billick.
That is just a mind blowing contract.
It is.
I don't even care about the money. I mean, the money's ridiculous, but putting that aside, like Mark Davis, whatever. Look, if he can afford it, fine.
Sure.
Right? Like, it doesn't matter. It doesn't count against the cap. Makes no difference. But what does make a difference, if you are a Raiders fan and you care about the Raiders' fortunes, 10 years. 10
yeah.
years is a lot of years. Like, let's say that 3 or 4 years in, this isn't working. For whatever the reason, Gruden's just burnt out, or it's just, you know, things haven't worked out the way they would have wanted. Derek Carr didn't, you know, produced the way that they thought he would under Gruden. Mm-hmm. What are you going to do? You're going to buy him out for $60 million?
It's impossible.
It's a crazy con. I think very highly of Andy Reid. If the Chiefs gave Andy Reid a 10-year contract, I would be horrified.
Yes.
You just don't do that. And by the way, the other side of this, not to go long-winded, but who is bidding against them for this? Like,
right.
Who? Like, what did Gruden go to them and say, listen, I've got an offer for 8 and 80. So you're going to have to go 10 and 100. Like, if they offered half this contract, he would have screamed deal into the phone. So I don't understand what they were doing.
The only other bidder I can think of would be ESPN. Maybe he just, like, truthfully would rather have the more laid-back job of being the Monday Night Football color guy. But if that's the case, if the only reason he's going back to head coaching is for the giant payday, then welcome to the AFC West, my man. I'm not terrified of you and your team.
No, I mean, honestly, nor should you be. I before the year started, I thought that the Chargers would finish second in the division. I tweeted that out, and I got an immense amount of blowback from mm-hmm. Oakland and the surrounding areas saying that you're crazy. You'd have to be nuts not to pick them to win the division. And I'll be honest, I didn't have them going 6-10, but I sure as hell didn't think they were going to replicate the 12-4 year. That being said, I cannot believe they fired Del Rio off that season. I mean, you just went 12-4 and gave the man a 4-year extension in February. So, I don't know. To me, if you're a Chiefs fan, not really a big deal in my. I think it's fine. It's flashy, but it's not a game changing situation.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. We'll talk about Mahomes on the back end of this whenever we decide we're tired of talking about the Titans. But yesterday I went through everything I knew about the Titans, everything I had learned over the last several days. I talked to a guy from the Titans SB Nation blog, and he said one of the saddest things ever to me. He said, Mike Mularkey would be thrilled to win this game 3-0. And that just made me really deeply saddened for Titans fans, because it seems like their coach hates fun. I'm not particularly afraid of this version of Marcus Mariota. I'm not particularly afraid of anything on this Titans offense, and I think the Chiefs offense has enough firepower to deal with the Titans defense. Can you create a way in which you're worried about this game?
You know, it's funny you say that, because I actually have spent the whole week, you know, other than analyzing it, I've been, as a lifelong Chiefs fan, I've been trying to work myself into a lather to almost get myself ready for a loss.
So 100%.
I've been looking for every opportunity to just to get myself into a position where if they lose, I'm going to say, well, I'm not surprised.
Yep.
I can't do it.
Me neither.
This game reminds me of the game they played against Houston a few years ago. And I remember going to that game and saying, look, at that point, they hadn't won a playoff game in 22 years. But just kind of looking at the game and saying, unless the Chiefs just vomit the game away, I can't picture them losing. And, of course, they won 30-0. I don't think this is going to be that. I don't think it's 30-0. But I do think when I look at the game, unless the Chiefs just let Tennessee run wild, I don't see how they win. They can't throw the ball. Their pass defense is nothing to write home about. I know they've been good against the run, but, you know, I think the Chiefs will be fine. I think if the Chiefs score 20 points, I think they win this game. And I think it might even be comfortably.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel the same way. Marcus Mariota has taken such a step back, and he's terrible whenever you're rushing three or four guys. Bob Sutton loves dropping too many guys in coverage. In this case, it seems like it'll pan out. The Titans have had a running game that has, you know, intimidated some, but they're terrible running between the tackles. I think the Lions are the only team in football worse at running between the tackles than the Titans have been this year on a yards per carry basis. I don't see any of those things coming together. But like you, I kind of feel like I should be ready for that, because the disastrous way of it coming to fruition is always a possibility.
And like, that's just it, right? Like if you're a Chiefs fan of any age, really of any age, maybe over like 15, you just expect a cataclysmic disaster to break out on Saturday afternoon.
Yes, for sure.
You expect them to be up by 27 points and find a way to lose the game on field goals. Like, it's just, that's how they are. That's who they are. That's what they've always been since January of 1970. That being said, if you look at this game from just a pure unbiased standpoint, there is no case to pick the Titans other than the Chiefs have a horrible game and turn the ball over four times. Because, honestly, you know, you look at even that. The Chiefs are second in the league in turnover differential. The Titans are -4. Like, there's nothing about it. I went through and looked at all the games the Titans have won this year, and if you take Russell Wilson out of the equation, and the Seahawks had a ton of yards in that game, if you take him out of the equation, they have not beaten a single quarterback better than Andy Dalton. I look at it and say to myself, if you look at the games they've played against any offense that you would consider just competent and better, they've given up almost 400 yards a game. There's nothing about them that should scare the Chiefs. The only thing that should scare the Chiefs are the Chiefs.
Yep. I'm 100% with you. Let's go over to a couple of national topics really quick. What did you think of the story detailing the Patriots' oncoming demise?
Listen, first of all, I just want to say, I think Seth Wickersham does great work at ESPN. That being said, who cares? First of all, look, this whole premise of, like, this might be their last year together. Well, Kraft's not selling the team.
No.
And they're not getting rid of Brady to move on to Brian Hoyer.
Nope.
So unless you think Belichick's retiring, which there's no reason to think he's going to do that.
Nope.
Well, who's leaving? I don't care. Like, look, there might very well be a power struggle. I'm not even suggesting this. There probably has been for a decade. You're talking about three of the most powerful and successful men in America. I'm sure there's some power struggle. But at the end of the day, this team wins and wins and wins and wins and wins. I don't foresee anything changing. The end of the Patriots era is probably going to be at some point Brady's body just breaks down on him. I mean, that's probably what it'll be. And when that happens, Belichick's probably going to go off into that good night. And then, you know, that's the end of New England for a while.
Yeah, I feel the exact same way. What about around the rest of the league this weekend coming up in the playoffs? The Titans-Chiefs game is, like you said, pretty hard to get all up in a lather about. Buffalo-Jacksonville also isn't totally getting it done for me. The boldest thing I can say is that Tyrod Taylor's team could beat Blake Bortles, even though the other team has a better defense. Woohoo. What about the NFC side of things? Atlanta, L.A., and Carolina and New Orleans. Any of those stand out to you especially?
I think Atlanta and L.A. could be a really interesting game. Both teams have stars on both sides of the ball. L.A., of course, with that young coach, Sean McVay, 31 years old. And you look at, you know, Jared Goff, he's really starting to come to his own. Todd Gurley should be able to get his MVP of the league. I think that's the best game of the weekend. I think that game for me is a coin flip. It could go either way. I think I picked Atlanta, actually, to upset the Rams. Certainly, I could see it either way. The Saints, I think, are going to beat up on the Panthers. The Panthers have been bad against them both times they've played them. The Saints have rushed over 5 yards of carry in those games. Newton hasn't even thrown for 200 yards once in either one of those games. And the Buffalo-Jacksonville game, that game, I don't know what to make of that game. Jacksonville could shut Buffalo out, but Bortles could throw two pick sixes and they could lose. So
yes. Yeah, exactly.
I think as long as Bortles doesn't kill them in that game, I think they're fine. But if Bortles is one of these games where he goes, you know, full Bortles and goes 16 of 40, you know, four picks, they could lose 10-9, but I would take Jacksonville to win.
What do you think about the rest of the teams in this playoff? You have a one seed in the NFC being quarterbacked by a backup quarterback, and technically it's really a two seed in the NFC being quarterbacked by their third quarterback. What do you think about the Nick Foles and Case Keenum futures of the Eagles and Vikings on a bye this week?
I think Nick Foles and the Eagles, their future is going to be very brief. I don't think they're winning a game. Keenum and the Vikings are different. I think the Vikings, if not favorites, are co-favorites. I really like the Saints. I've liked them all year long. I think the Saints are going to be the toughest out of any team in the NFC. But the Vikings are really good. So I think the difference between the futures for those two teams are extreme in my eyes. I think the Eagles, to win a game, are going to have to totally shut somebody down defensively, because looking at Foles, he has been atrocious. So I don't see any reason to pick Philadelphia going forward.
Maybe you can help me understand the Vikings a little bit then, because every time I look at this team, I keep waiting for the other shoe to drop, because it's Case Keenum, and it's not even Dalvin Cook anymore. This is a team with two injured quarterbacks and their injured star running back and other players. I know that Adam Thielen and Stephon Diggs are really great receivers, but they're doing it still with Case Keenum. The Vikings are the one team more than anybody else in the league this year where I simply feel like I've gotten lost on what is happening.
They're great defensively, and they're opportunistic offensively. Look, when Dalvin Cook went down, I was the first one to say, that's it, they're done, they can't score now. I was wrong. I think, first of all, Rudolph's an underrated tight end. He's very good. And so he opens up some of those things on the outside. Diggs is a good receiver. Thielen is one of the best route runners in the NFL. He gets himself open. He really, in a lot of ways, reminds me of Keenan Allen. That same type of, not great speed, but great hands, knows how to read defensive schemes, knows how to get himself open, whether it be in a zone or how to beat a guy man-to-man. And defensively, they're excellent. Look, Harrison Smith is one of the best safeties in football. Frankly, he's one of the best defensive players in the game. And they have a lot of guys up front who can do different things. You look at that front four that they've got, and every single one of those guys can beat you. So the Vikings get it done in a multitude of ways. They're good on special teams. I think Minnesota is not flashy. They're not a sexy team, but they're very good.
Yeah. What about the AFC side? We've talked about the Patriots and Steelers ad nauseum for the last decade, so I don't know if there are new places we can break ground. But is that the status quo still, where you simply do not expect any of these four teams, including the Chiefs, to be able to deal with the Patriots and or Steelers next week?
You know what? I'm actually going to go rogue. I don't think the Patriots and the Steelers are going to play each other in the AFC title game.
Okay.
I think one of them will get there. One of them is going to get picked off. I think it's going to be New England. I think New England's going to get picked off in the first round of the playoffs. Well, in the divisional round, their first game.
Right,
I just – they've been terrible defensively all year long. Mm-hmm. I don't trust their running game in a big spot. I think Brady, obviously, I mean, he's beyond reproach. But if you can even just limit Gronk, and it's a big if, their wide receivers don't terrify you. I mean, they really don't. Like, Brandon Cooks is a good player, but he's not, frankly, he's not Tyreek Hill. You know, he's not Odell Beckham or anybody or Antonio Brown. So I could see New England, you know, they got two coordinators that might have one foot out the door. I think that matters. And that's something to watch for the Chiefs. I think New England is right. New England's right to be picked off. And Pittsburgh, well, I think Pittsburgh's a really good team. The loss of Shazier can't be overstated. It is a game-changing loss. He is by far their best defensive player.
Well, if you think the Patriots get picked off, you've got to think the Chiefs have the best chance to do that, right? Because, again, I know that Jacksonville could shut down anybody. But I, if Blake Bortles beats Tom Brady to go to an AFC Championship game, I'll eat a hat. Someone can mail me a hat that I'll eat a Jags hat. That's fine. Or a Patriots. It doesn't matter. I would eat. You could mail me anything on the planet, and I would consume it on the spot to prove that I was completely wrong about that thing when I said Blake Bortles couldn't beat Tom Brady to get to an AFC Championship game. I don't think the Bills have that in them, and I certainly don't think the Titans are even going to get a shot. Do you expect then the Chiefs and the Steelers to meet in the AFC Championship game?
Yeah, I do.
Oh my goodness,
I really do. You know what? I will say this because I don't want to, I don't overstate things. I think if they go up to Foxborough next weekend and they're healthy, they don't have any huge injury against Tennessee. I think that game in Foxborough is a coin flip, and I think the Chiefs have the mental edge in it because the Chiefs have beat them two of the last three times they've seen them. They played him earlier this year in prime time, a huge spot. And, you know, everybody looks back. I think there's this feeling, well, the Chiefs played the perfect game. The Chiefs took 15 penalties in that game and were awful for a ton of that game. Kansas City was abysmal. And the only caveat, it's got to be said, Barry's not playing this time around. And that is a huge difference. But I got to say, for the first time, maybe since the days of Trent Green, I think the Chiefs could go up there and give up 30 points and win. And I really think they have a shot. I think it's 50-50. They go up there. They would have a shot. They just match up very, very well. And New England's right tackle, Marcus Cannon, is an all-pro, and he's out for the year. And that matters against Justin Houston. So, yeah, I think the Chiefs have a very good chance of going in there and knocking them off.
I'm pretty sure I heard your baby earlier on.
She is screaming her head off.
You have to get more sleep, Matt. You sound like a crazy person. I'm worried about you.
Hey, look, you, I wouldn't gotta... against Pittsburgh. I think Pittsburgh would wipe the floor, but I would.
Yeah,
but I do think, you know, look, football is, it's just like boxing is about fighting styles. Football is about matchups. The Chiefs match up well with them. They give them problems. New England doesn't have the personnel defensively to match up with the Chiefs. And unlike past years, Kansas City's got three guys that you have to pay special attention to. And if you're going to do that, you either need to have a scheme that confuses them, as Pittsburgh does, or you have to be able to have a ton of talent, as you know, as Seattle does, as Minnesota does. If you don't have that, you might take away one guy. You might even limit the second. But at some point, the dam's going to break, and you're going to give up a lot of yardage. And I think New England did that early on. I think they'd be better. But I think the Chiefs' offense would go up and down the field in the game. I really do.
I do agree. Certainly, they have a much better chance against the Patriots than they would against the Steelers. I would grapple with that game. I would not waste a moment in clicking the Steelers button in Pigskin Pick'em or whatever in that game. But I hope that is how it pans out. So let's go ahead now and go back to a technically meaningless game that in some ways had some of the most intrigue of the latter half of the season here and there. Patrick Mahomes did some really amazing things against the Broncos in Week 17, and I think gave us a look at the future. Do you expect – actually, let's go ahead and start with what you saw from Week 17 before we look actually ahead. What did you take away most clearly from seeing Mahomes make his debut in Week 17?
I went into that game not caring about the statistics. I wanted to see how he looked in the pocket, how he went through his reads, how his feet looked. You know, did he look nervous? Did he look polished? I walked out of that game saying, that was everything you could have ever wanted to see out of that kid. And then, I know he threw a pick, and he threw a dumb throw at the end of the game into double coverage. That ball could have been picked off. And then we kind of look at that game a little differently. But he was fantastic. I mean, he threw, I will say, conservatively, a half dozen throws that you just laughed when he threw. I mean, they were ridiculous.
Yes.
I walked away saying he read the blitzes right, he made a couple of audibles, he made the right throws, and I was extremely impressed. I think if you're a Chiefs fan, you saw that, you've got to be thrilled with what he looked like.
Okay, so let's go ahead now, actually, and I want to keep pulling on the thread of how you think this postseason could play out. So let's say the Chiefs beat the Titans, which you both think will happen. Let's say they go ahead and go to New England and beat the Patriots and then lose to the Steelers in the most predictable fashion. Who's the quarterback of the Chiefs week one of 2018's regular season?
I think it's Patrick Mahomes no matter what Alex Smith does.
Yeah,
I don't think
too.
It matters. Because I think if they win the Super Bowl, like if they had an unbelievable run and they win it all, then they're going to say, hey, we won. We have a bye year next year. Like if we go out and we go 8-8, Mahomes has some growing pains, who cares? Nobody cares. We won the Super Bowl. Look, to me, the Chiefs look at this and say, we can move Smith. We can get a pick or two. We can get $17 million of cap relief. We can put in our quarterback of the future who, of all appearances, looks like he can play. It looks like he's ready to go. So if I'm the Chiefs, I'm looking at that and saying $17 million, we can get another edge rusher. We get a D lineman. We get a corner. And, hey, guess what? We might get a second-round pick or two or, you know, second and a third. That, to me, all that, plus Mahomes, that's more valuable than just Smith.
I 100% agree, but it makes me feel less crazy to hear you say that also. Even though you have a postseason confidence in the Chiefs right now that I can only envy. As always, Matt Verderam from FanSided. He's on Twitter at Matt Verderam. And you go read everything he does and go listen to everything that he makes because he deserves it, because he has a screaming baby that he now has to contend with. And he's working on not quite Seth Kaiser levels of sleep, but I'm guessing that he's got Seth in the crosshairs. Matt, as always, thanks for the time.
Thank you very much, Seth. Take care.
Listen, I don't actually think Matt's an insane person. I think that he's saying only logical things. I'm having a hard time also getting myself concerned about this Titans game. I wrote up a little post for Arrowhead Attic where I said the Titans are only a playoff team this year because someone had to be. That's how I feel about where this offense is entirely. You look at what you expect against the Patriots. Can this team win in Foxborough? We saw that 16 weeks ago. I think it kind of makes sense. I think that's actually reasonable. And then, of course, they would get obliterated by the Steelers. That's the only option. All right, we're actually, I don't know if you, maybe you just tuned in at 5. Maybe you've been driving around and thinking, oh, this is just a nice conversation between two football boys. Well, you would be partially accurate. We're also out at Menards right now. Not by we, I mean myself and Charlie Carlin Beards back at the studio. Matt calling from New Jersey, I think. That's unrelated. We're the Menards in Olathe, and Charlie has been really working on his script reading ability. So I'm gonna just fan these out for you here, Charlie. I'm gonna hold the 6 copy points that I have out. Just pick one at random, okay, like you're drawing a card, and read that script.
Save big now during Menards winter sale.
Oh, let's do it.
Did you know you could do that?
I did. I've been very
all stock with Lithonia recessed housings and trims. I think I just read this one. Are on sale. The 6-inch new construction recessed housing is just $497.
No, you did. Here, read this one instead.
All that hard work is just gone.
Read that one instead.
Yeah. No, because
read that one.
No,
read it.
No, I already read it earlier. So did you.
I was going to read that one anyway.
My head is literally on the console.
Yeah, Charlie just refusing to read the scripts I hand him is honestly just so offensive. Okay, read a script, please, for these lovely people at Menards who asked for us to be here today. Stop being such a hack and read. I'll read the one that you wouldn't read, but you go first.
Say big now during Menards winter sale, which you know you could do that. Make any room come alive with Dakota pre-finished planks. Their tongue and groove design makes
their
installation
what design?
Easy.
Their
in
what
four
design?
Styles, 8-foot planks are just $3.99 each after rebate.
What's the design?
Add beauty and reduce household odors with Dutch Boy Refresh Interior Paint. It's self-priming and is the only paint with Arm & Hammer odor-reducing technology.
They're not going to ask us back, are they?
Flat or ceiling paint $22.98 a gallon after rebate now during Menards winter sale.
You know what I love about the way you did that, Charlie?
We're not seeing our money, are we?
You just seem so excited to read it. No, Beards, we're not being asked to come back.
And you, yeah.
I have enjoyed being here because truly, I've never been to Menards before today. We are currently seated by the doorknobs and drawer pulls and everything. But from here, I promise you, I mean this. I can see leather chairs. I can see Doritos. I can see a copy of The Lorax on DVD. I can see NyQuil. I can see a Tom Clancy book. I can see Gorilla Glue. I can see faucets. I can see a ceiling fan. I can see sandpaper. I can see one terrible co-host/producer who would not read the script I handed him.
I think I just read it. I don't know why.
It's not the one I wanted you to
read. What you're complaining about.
This is the one I wanted to
read. Does he ever stop complaining, Beards? I only join you guys a couple...
No.
Once a week.
No, never. I'm always
never.
Upset.
Never.
Okay.
No, that's my secret. I'm always angry.
Mm, okay.
And also, in case you're just... if you haven't been listening since, I don't know, 4:02 when we started the show, if you've missed even a breath of the show so far today, whenever I got here, one of the managers here gave me a bunch of assorted copy points that we could cycle throughout the day to try to convince you to come save big money at Menards. You've heard the jingle. Come and do it. This
can you sing
though,
it for us, please?
I did it earlier on the little promo. Save big money at Menards. How do you do? Was that beautiful? Here's my favorite copy that I was handed today. We've been going to Menards a lot lately because my husband and I just bought our first home. Our front door is the first big thing we're changing. I was able to create the door that I wanted, a three-panel mission with a dental shelf and a patina-accented glass. Having that level of control over the final product is really a great experience. It was the perfect door for us. Create your own door, your way, only at Menards.
Is that your husband down there that I see coming walking up?
Well, this is the problem with this script. Obviously, there's an obvious problem. Again, I'll read the first sentence here. You can play along at home, and then I will tell you the obvious problem in case you missed it. My husband and I just bought our first home is the problematic phrase.
Seems accurate to me when I'm talking about you.
I obviously do not have enough money to buy a house. Hmm. I also don't have a husband.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah, sorry. I thought that might be more of a stunner to Charlie.
Mm.
The thing about being on a remote that is difficult is I can't point at Beards whenever I want him to take a commercial break. And I don't really want to throw it a break every time, because what are we going to tease next segment? Like, all right, whenever we come back, we're going to talk about more things around us. Almost we'll talk about more entire. Things. What? Damn it, Charlie, what? Now you want to talk?
I was just going to say almost entirely Menards.
Go to break. Today.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
Welcome back to Almost Entirely Sports. Oh, God, Charlie.
With Joshua Briscoe.
God, I could hit you with a plate. I could break a plate over your head right now.
On ESPN Kansas City.
My urge to violently attack Charlie is not yet quelled. The bad news is I don't have a plate at my disposal. The good news I have is that I have everything else.
You could probably go down an aisle and get a shovel.
Ooh, a shovel is great.
Or a hammer.
I was thinking about a hammer, because I'm sure there's a hammer here somewhere. But a shovel has some leverage and some distance, although, because I don't want to commit murder underneath one of their security cameras, which, by the way, I don't know if you saw this, Charlie. We are directly under one of their security cameras. I'm like literally 30 feet from a plastic spatula. I could give a pretty good whack with a plastic spatula. That worst case scenario would cost me like $1.50 to pay for the spatula that I destroyed.
Yeah, I'll do you one better. There's, you know, this flex tape and flex seal?
Yeah.
Over here?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to seal your mouth shut.
All right, fine. Turn off my microphone and just go ahead and do the show. Go ahead.
The Giants have completed their interview with Patriots OC Josh McDaniels. I didn't know that they were interviewing him, too. Do you think that's part of the power struggle with the 3, because, you know, remember that video that went viral of Tom Brady yelling at him? It worked, guys. Flex Tape and Flex Seal is legit.
Only at Menards.
Oh.
You know how I was reminded recently that Josh McDaniels was interviewing with the Giants?
Hmm.
Because Matt Verderam just mentioned it.
Did he?
He did.
Cool.
He mentioned that, you know, they have a couple of coordinators who might be on their way out. I wish I loved anything as much as Charlie loved aimlessly scrolling through his Twitter. Literally anything at all. I don't think that has anything to do with the power struggle.
Okay.
I do think it might be something that is annoying Bill Belichick currently, that he's got McDaniels and Matt Patricia out doing interviews for basically every open head coaching position. I'm sure he's not a huge fan of that, but it's the bye week. They don't even know who they're scouting yet and who they're preparing for. I think it's okay.
Wow. This is an interesting tweet from LeBron James. You want to hear it?
Sure. Tell me about it. Yeah, sure. This is the Flex Tape sponsored segment of the show.
Yeah.
My mouth has been Flex Tape shut.
Man, I just had the greatest in all caps, Thai massage of all time. Got me feeling like a slinky straight up.
That sounds nice.
Yeah.
What's a Thai massage?
I don't know.
Can you look it up, please? Can we find out what exactly a Thai massage entails? Oh, man, I had another direction I wanted to drive this ship other than directly into the iceberg that they have here at Menards. The icebergs that on aisle 14. Oh, there was a guy that walked by with a box of Twinkies in his hand.
Twinkies here, too? Wow.
Yeah, I'm telling you, man, you could live in here for a lifetime. You could spend a lifetime in Menards, and I think you would be good. And like, live comfortably. They have mattresses and doors. you can put a door in front of your mattress. What else do you want? It's like being at home. By the way, we're at Menards in Olathe, if that wasn't made abundantly clear by now. We can talk about the Royals trade as well. Joaquin Soria no longer with the team, traded away for a couple of dudes. And it was him and Scott Alexander traded away for a couple of dudes in a three-team deal, scooted some players around, cleared cap money. We don't know about the Eric Hosmer thing yet. Talked about that a little bit on Wednesday. It doesn't seem like a good idea. And we'll talk about it more once the Chiefs are eliminated from the playoffs or, I guess, win the Super Bowl, just to cover all of our bases. Because I don't think Hosmer is getting locked in anywhere anytime soon. I think Scott Boras is going to take his dear sweet time. And I still hesitate to understand the logic behind the Royals being willing to give him $140 million over the next 7 years. It's kind of a strange setup for team in rebuilding mode.
There is one positive from this trade.
Okay.
You ready for it?
Sure.
No more negative Soria callers list.
Oh, that's sad.
You really enjoyed doing that.
Yeah. So Beards, thank
it
you
was
for
passionate
bringing,
hatred.
Beards, thank you for bringing up something that literally only the three of us understand what you're talking about. You could explain it at your leisure.
So during post-game shows last year, I kept a tally on the back wall of how many times anybody called in with negative comments about Joaquin Soria. It reached about 10 million pages long.
How's that tally of negative comments about Josh going? Because that's just ongoing, right?
Well, hang on. You can just listen to how many pages it is.
Okay.
Wow, that was something.
And the worst part about it is that he actually likes that.
Yeah, do it again, but slower this time.
That's not what I meant, but okay.
That sounded like you hitting keys on a keyboard.
Nope. No, believe me, I don't want to just mash keys. Our computer might explode.
I didn't think you would. What were you flipping? Are you carrying a textbook with you?
The legal pad that has all the tallies on it.
Those pages were too thick for legal pad pages. What I was gonna say, though, like 10 minutes ago, is that even with the Royals conversation that can be had and Who? And Mizzou has a new offensive coordinator. As Beards is just continually going. Okay.
Keep it up, Beards.
Perfect. Is that it's 20 minutes until the end of the show on a day before a Chiefs playoff game.
20 minutes too long.
I'm going to hit you with a DVD copy of The Lorax.
But no, for real, are we too confident in this game?
Well, this is what I was going to talk about until you interrupted me to ask me the question I was already throwing up to myself.
And?
And I think you're...
That was a very faint laugh, Beards.
I was far away from the microphone.
Are you going to answer the question I stole from you?
Maybe not.
Okay.
Maybe I'll reflex tape my own mouth.
Please do.
Again, I understand your knee-jerk reaction of, oh man, it'd be great if Josh would shut up forever. I understand. But then what? Then what would happen? I guess, I mean, you just go, hey, Beards, all right, go ahead and fling it into automation. We're going home early.
Yeah.
Okay, woo! Fine. I forget that Charlie
Beards
doesn't
wants this too, I think.
Beards shouldn't. Because for Beards, like his life would get more boring and his work hours would decline, but like not in a good way. Charlie is literally about to peel off a piece of Gorilla Tape. Go ahead, do that again. Go ahead.
The noise didn't really come through like I
You didn't get it close enough to the microphone. I bet if you get it tacky by your own microphone, it'll like turn that. It over so the sticky side is facing your microphone.
No, I'm not that
do
stupid.
Do it. Oh, man, I almost got Charlie to put the tape close enough to his mouth where I could have smacked it over his mouth. He got so close to falling for it. Here's the thing, Charlie, to answer my own question that you hijacked and interrupted 1,000 times. I don't know what being too confident here means. Because again, I'm in the place where Matt is. We just talked to Matt Verderam. I'm where he is on this. The only way that I can see this game going south is if it's just a Chief game. If it just gets really Chiefed up.
Yeah. If like you said, the only way that the Chiefs can lose is that they beat themselves.
It's just a game where Alex Smith throws a couple of interceptions. Maybe Kareem Hunt has a fumble. Andy Reid gets afraid again. Everything shuts down slowly, one piece after another.
Marcus Peters tosses a flag at a ref.
Right. Marcus Peters gets ejected in the first quarter. Travis Kelce murders a fan. Benny Logan's leg explodes. And
Patrick has one Mahomes, rushing yard.
And Patrick Mahomes is inactive, so he can't come in and save the game. That's the only story I can build to make any argument for how this becomes anything other than a Chiefs victory. Even if it's closer than I'm expecting. And I saw some stat earlier about how bad Andy Reid is against the spread in the playoffs, and it's startling. But even if it is a one score win, even if it's a 3-point victory, I can't predict logically anything other than it basically all going according to plan. Yeah, this team showed a bunch of flaws and enough flaws to lose to the Giants and the Jets and the Bills. But it also has shown more things more recently, like that has shown that it's an offense back on track and that it's a defense that got back to some basics and that the Titans have shown enough weaknesses offensively where I think this Chiefs defense has a clear advantage here, where I think all they have to do is manage the running game outside of the tackles. And if they can do that, then this will work out just fine. I want to be cynical as much as anybody. I generally am as cynical as anybody. But even looking for the places in which I could be more concerned, looking for the places in which this could all backfire, I can't find it. Marcus Mariota and Mike Mularkey aren't going to beat Alex Smith and Andy Reid.
Yeah.
And you can do this at really every position, in every unit across the whole field. All of the position players all the offensive lines, the defenses in their entirety. Maybe the Titans have a defensive advantage, but if they do, it is a meager one, especially juxtaposed to what these offenses look like. It's a better quarterback and a better running back and better wide receivers and a better tight end and a better offensive coordinator and a better head coach. So, yes, it's an NFL game, and more terrifyingly, it's a Chiefs playoff game. I suppose something terrible could happen.
Yep, and it's at home too, so.
Sure, so something awful and unpredictable could come through.
What's the spread up to now?
Nine.
Eight and a half?
Nine and a half. Yeah, just, no, something terrible could happen.
That scares me even more.
Something terrible could happen. But if you said, hey, tell me how it happened, I would have to give you like five unlikely things happen one after another after another after another, and I would never really believe in any of that.
If it's gotten that high, that means a lot of people are picking the Chiefs to cover the
yeah.
spread.
Which, the money has moved in the Chiefs' yeah. direction, and that scares me because, again, the Andy Reid's record against the spread and all of that, I'm not even as convinced. I guess I should give an actual prediction. Next segment, we'll do that, I guess.
Gosh, we have one more segment.
Oh, my goodness. Listen, Charlie, I wish as bad as you do that you could just go home now.
Yeah.
But I do want to make sure I put my cynicism through its paces, and I want to make sure that there's not something I'm missing. But I feel like I can say, and Beards has so much material now of me saying that I'm not afraid of the Titans and that this game is going to be a Chiefs victory and blah, blah, blah.
Mark it.
So if the Chiefs lose, the last week on Monday is going to be 45 minutes of me being dead wrong. But I feel like I can say this pretty confidently.
Oh, God.
If the Chiefs do lose tomorrow, it is going to be devastating. It's going to be the kind of loss that sticks with you through an off season, and I say that even in comparison to losing to the Steelers by field goals. Mm. At least that game you thought, hey, that's a better team, or at least that's a good team. That's a respectable team. I don't respect the Tennessee Titans. Again, they're in the playoffs because somebody had to be. I would be more afraid of the Bills, not just because the Chiefs have already lost to the Bills, but I would be more afraid of the Bills.
And absolutely more afraid of if the Ravens or the Chargers would have made it.
Yes, yes, all of those teams. I think the Titans were the most flavorless team in the AFC this year, maybe in the whole league. Not worst team, but just the blandest, just the team that lacked identity the most. And why? Because like we talked about yesterday with Jimmy from Music City Miracles. Because Mike Mularkey would be just thrilled to win games 3-0. And whenever that is your identity and you don't really have the personnel to execute that, you just have no identity whatsoever. So I'm very confident in the Chiefs winning tomorrow, which means that I will come in Monday devastated. We're doing this show from Menards today. The Menards out in Olathe. But at this point, if you're not here right now, you're probably not going to have a chance to come say hi before we leave. That's okay. Still come to Menards. Charlie, pick a 30-second copy and read your favorite.
Save big now during Menards Winter Sales. You know you can do that.
Oh, I love Menards Winter Sale.
Keep your windshield clean with Splash Ultimate Windshield Wash. It cleans your windshield while leaving a streak-free shine.
I need to get some of that.
It's effective down to
my car is a dirty boy.
35 degrees
that's
Fahrenheit.
That's also perfect.
That's pretty accurate right now, right?
Yeah, we live in Kansas.
We got down to.
Yeah, it's negative 35 degrees and my car is dirty. I need this.
Mm-hmm. Only
how much is it, Charlie?
Only $198 a gallon.
Get that. You mean $198 a gallon?
Yes. Over 35 door chimes.
No, you mean no. You mean what you mean is
from,
no.
Oh yeah, you're right. Sorry.
That's $2 a gallon. That is some bonkers numbers.
Over 35 door chimes and buttons from Heath Zenith are on sale, including this wireless plug-in chime that includes two wireless buttons with a 100-foot range.
It's cool. Don't really need that as bad as I need the windshield wiper fluid, but maybe you need a chime.
Now during Menards Winter Sale.
Menards Winter Sale. That's Charlie Carlin. I'm Josh Briscoe. Beards McFly is back at the station. Whenever we come back, we'll give, I guess, our final pre-NFL playoff predictions. That's something we would do on a sports show, right?
Yeah.
We'll do that next.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
What was I going to say? Other than me complaining about just how hard and difficult this job is, have to sit in the studio and talk.
Anything else you want to complain about while we're at it? Since we're on that
almost entirely complaining.
On 1510 AM, 99.3 FM, and 1510.com.
All right, we're almost done with our Menards show, which is, I think, the only way that you can really describe what we've done here today. We've been out at Menards in Olathe, and I've been able to pick out a new thing that I hadn't seen before. Literally every time I've done this, I can see toothpaste from here. That was new. I had not cataloged toothpaste until this moment.
There's fireplaces over there. I need a new fireplace.
What?
Yeah.
Can you just sell a fireplace?
I guess. Menards can.
That's right. Okay, Menards can do anything.
Yeah.
So we're going to head out here, you know, in about 5 minutes once the show wraps up. But you should come out to Menards and get literally anything. I've yet to be presented with something that has not been here. I keep walking through and seeing things that I can't believe are all in this one store. So come by through Menards and at the checkout, tell them that Almost Entirely Sports sent you. And then they will look at you as if you have grown a second nose, and then you will just buy your things in shame. You'll walk out, and then you will enjoy whatever it is that you bought from Menards.
Actually, you'll be kicked out of the store.
They'll let you buy the stuff. They'll just stare at you funny as you walk out. And I'll tell you what, though. If you say that and then try to walk back in later, then you'll be kicked out, 100%. So thanks to everybody here at Menards for having us today. Next time, I just want I want full responsibility to be able to run throughout the store and take whatever I want and just consume it during the show.
Yeah.
I don't want to take a couch with me. I just think if I open some Flamin' Hot Cheetos, I should be able to eat them. That's all. Free of charge.
Course,
I would like
always.
That. I like that kind of privilege.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, we have a couple minutes left. We're going to do our very serious NFL preview.
Before we do that, though.
Oh, my God, Charlie.
I was just going to repeat the comment that nice man came up and said. He wants the Chiefs to be tougher than being able to walk on hot lava. Did you miss that?
I did.
He says he wants, we were coming back from break,
so I had my headphones on.
He wants the Chiefs to be tougher than anyone in the playoffs this week, and he said he wants, or this year, I guess, and said that he wants them to be tougher than someone walking on hot lava. So go ahead and continue.
Thank you, Charlie. All three of us are going to give our picks for this weekend because I think it would be hilarious if Beards beat us. Titans at Chiefs. Anybody not want the Chiefs? Great. Thank you guys for your feedback. Buffalo at Jacksonville. Beards, who do you want?
I'll go Buffalo.
Okay, Charlie.
Jacksonville.
Let's go to the NFC. Atlanta at the Rams. Beards.
Atlanta.
Charlie.
Los Angeles.
Oh, man. Beards and Charlie are really going two separate directions here. Carolina, New Orleans. Beards.
Who is it again?
Carolina, New Orleans.
New Orleans.
Charlie.
Dang it, Beards. I wanted to pick New Orleans, too, but yeah.
You can.
You still can. You
no,
don't have
but we're,
to...
we're keeping up the opposite thing.
Well, you okay. Both picked the Chiefs.
Oh, you're right.
Neither one of
yeah.
you said a damn word. So it was almost like you didn't. I'm taking the Chiefs over the Titans, the Jags over the Bills, the Rams over the Falcons, and the Saints over the Panthers.
Wow, way to copy me.
Did I copy you? I wrote mine down before the break. I think you're reading my notes over there. I have no faith at all in the Jags, though. I have the Rams over the Vikings the next round, Saints over the Eagles, and then the Saints over the Rams to go to the Super Bowl, then Steelers over Jags, Patriots over Chiefs, Patriots over Steelers, and then a Patriots-Saints Super Bowl in which the terribly dysfunctional
33.
Patriots win yet another one.
I've got a Steelers and Saints Super Bowl. So pretty much
just the same thing,
except the Steelers get revenge on the Patriots.
All right, thank you again to Menards out here in Olathe. Oh, man, I'm running out of time to read my favorite
17.
Menards copy. We've been going to Menards a lot lately because my husband and I just bought our first home. Thanks, Menards. That's my favorite copy.
Nine.
Imagine joining the show right now. All right, Charlie, thanks for coming out here and listening to me. Beards, thanks for managing everything in the studio. Have a good weekend.
Two.
Good luck, Chiefs. Bye, Mom.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe on ESPN Kansas City.